Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand.
Welcome to Shrink Wrap. I'm licensed marriage and family therapist Phyllis Chase, here every Tuesday evening at Drive Time to help you unwrap the issues blocking your road to a happy and fulfilling life. I've been dubbed the problem shrinker because I believe that when you focus on the solution and on your strengths, your problems just shrink away. You're tuned into KCSN 88.5 FM, Arts and Roots Radio's Shrink Wrap, which is all about tuning into you. Tonight, our topic is anger management. Yes. And I am so excited to have my dear friend, Anita Avedian. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist, and she has been running groups in anger management for, I don't know, how long?
I think about 5 years.
Five years, longer than, you know, quite a long time. I think longer than that, Anita. But anyway, because yeah. I seem to remember meeting you way back, in your offices in Sherman Oaks. And also, lately, you've been busy on television. You've been on Bad Girls Club.
Yes.
And on Sunset Tan.
Yes.
So you're teaching the reality show people how to manage their anger?
I am. Good. Sunset Tan season 2 was about anger management, and Bad Girls Club was not about anger management, but yes.
Okay. Anyway, so first of all, people don't really understand anger and what it is. Yeah. So I want you to first define it, please.
Sure. I think the most important thing to understand about anger is that anger is a secondary emotion. A lot of people think it's the first thing that comes up, and they just react right away to it. And one of the main things to learn about it is there's so many different emotions that precede anger. For example, if a person feels hurt and it's too uncomfortable for them to deal with that hurt, they go quickly to anger as a way of helping them control that emotion. They perceive anger as, I'm in control now, and which is quite the opposite, really. And the sooner they can understand this is, it's that I'm feeling hurt, and identify that and be able to express that, there's a whole different outcome of that situation and of a person's feeling, too.
Yeah. I mean, I always say to my clients that underneath anger is either sadness or a fear.
Fear is very, fear, especially
I say
while
fears
driving.
Fears or tears.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, especially while driving, right. Yeah.
Someone cuts you off, you kind of get scared, and then you get really upset, and you're not even in touch with the fear at that
right.
point. It's just all anger.
Because we jump right to anger, which is the powerful in control feeling,
yes.
so we don't have to feel the fear.
Yes.
And, is when you're really out of control, especially if you're behind the wheel and angry,
yes.
you're probably pretty out of control and a danger, right?
Yeah.
So tell us, anger management. There's a movie about it. Right. There's so many misconceptions about it. So clear up what are the most common misconceptions?
Sure. Actually, I want to point out with the movie Anger Management, the way they actually made the movie is they asked George Anderson. George Anderson was a consultant to the movie as to how do you run an anger management program? And every response he gave, they did exactly the opposite of it. And that's what made it a comedy. So we are hoping that that's not how people really perceive anger management because, it was a fairly
unethical. George Anderson is an expert on anger management.
George Anderson has, he actually does a lot of training in anger management. I'm certified through Anderson. Mm-hmm. So, but yes, he was the consultant on the anger management film and explained that to us.
That's funny.
So, but in terms of misconceptions, it's very interesting. We get phone calls, and of course I answer several calls a day about this. And people are unsure as to whether this is the right program for them. They think that they're going to come to a room full of men, big men tattooed and out of prison and gangs. And, this is like the conception. And here's this woman calling and I need anger management, but, do you have a group that would be more suitable for me? And we just say actually most of our groups are just suitable for you. So it's not about, all these men. In fact, most of our clients are women. We have adolescents, we have adults, we have a lot of high-functioning people, we have attorneys, we have doctors coming in. So it's just there's this misconception of you have people who are just really, really angry people who are breaking things apart, and it's not really the case.
Yeah. It's not the case.
No.
I mean, I was surprised that you said that you get referrals from country clubs.
Yes.
For men on the golf course or on the tennis courts getting, well, is that men? Or is that women?
That's men.
Okay.
Okay, so men, somehow in the last few years, we've had referrals from country clubs because, one, you know, you are under the sun. You're having to be patient waiting for other people to move on ahead from you. And, you know, when you have a lot of men who are on the field, on the course, they, I guess, start getting upset, and the country club will tell them, you need anger management, and if not, you can't continue your membership here. So we've had referrals from them because of that. Yeah.
Well, that is a very different concept, you know, population than the prison, you know. And you're talking about that's a batterers program, right?
So batterers treatment program, I'm glad you asked about that. That's actually domestic violence. That's when there is anger being acted out within the family. For example, a husband beating up his wife, or a wife being emotionally abusive or financially abusive to her husband. That's domestic violence. And it's not something we deal with our program, but it is something we refer out to batterers treatment program. That's a lot about power and control within the relationship. And those men or women tend to be very charming outside of the relationship. So you don't see that continue on as road rage or office desk rage. The only person who's going to know that are people within the family. Mm-hmm. And so that's a different program. We specifically focus on anger management, which is road rage, desk rage. You know, you're standing in line at a supermarket and you're getting frustrated with someone moving too slowly. Anything outside of the home, basically. Mm-hmm.
And so why is someone getting angry like that with, you know, the long line at the grocery market? Or
I like to believe that we have a set of beliefs that we are actually we picked up on from messages, either from family, from our upbringing, from school, as to what we've learned about ourselves. So these are beliefs about even about other people. So the belief is people need to move at the same pace as I do. And when they don't meet that expectation, the thought is, you know, they're doing this intentionally to hurt me or to tick me off, or, you know, things like that. So what's going to upset a person or get them really angry is the way they're viewing that situation.
It's their belief system.
Yes. It's the belief system about other people. You know, so it's a belief system about other people. It's their thought about it. So how they're actually thinking about the situation. So if that same person who's standing in front of me in line, if they are taking their time, now I can easily go into, you know, oh man, they're taking their time, I'm late for something, and that's going to start upsetting me. Right? I'm going to feel stressed. The more stressed I feel, the more angry I'm going to get. And so if I can figure out a way of countering that thinking and think, you know what, she's older, you know, she's going to take maybe she's had a bad day, so she's just functioning a little slower. So it's okay that, you know, I have patience, and it's okay that she's taking some time. There's nothing wrong with that. It's about me being impatient, and I have to learn to deal with that. So people get angry for those types of thinking that way, or having a belief that everyone needs to be on the same page as they are, or something.
Yes. You know? I mean, I often say it this way, that when you think it should be different.
Yes.
Then it is.
Yes.
That will often is a source of the anger. So if you could just turn it around and look at it like, well, what if this should be happening?
Yeah, it's our expectations. Mm-hmm. It's our expectations about other people. You know, if I think people should be doing this and they don't do it, guess what? I'm going to be pretty upset. So I just created my own anger. It's not the situation itself. It's how we value that situation. It's what meaning we put into it. Mm-hmm. And that I have control over. And most people don't realize they have control over it.
Yes. And that also makes them, hopefully when they understand that, they realize that they are in control and they do have the power.
Yeah.
And that when they're getting angry, they're giving their power away.
Yes. Yes. And the sooner they realize I have control over my thinking, over my beliefs, and granted, it takes time to start countering those thoughts and to start thinking. I don't like to say more positively. I like to say more realistically, right? So it's not to go think, oh, everyone's happy and they like me. No, it's not. Yeah. That's not reality. The reality is that this is upsetting me, and mm-hmm. I have a choice to either get irritable or not, and I can learn to become more patient. Let this be a challenge for me to use my energy to strengthen myself by having more patience, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's the realization that I have control over that, and people around me don't have to change. It's I need to change my way of thinking. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep. Great. Well, now, so not everyone is mandated to come in mm-hmm. to anger management classes. Yeah. You have people who voluntarily call up.
Half our clients do come in voluntarily. They you know, the people who come in voluntarily, again, they're not mandated, but they do hear from people around them that, you know, whether it's the wife, children, or colleagues, or they lost a job and they decide, okay, guess what? I better start working on this because I just lost a job because of this. Mm-hmm. So people do realize that, you know what, I'm pretty sure anger management's going to be helpful. And they make the call and they come in. And a lot of times, you know, they're more motivated to learn and to understand better. The other piece that I've realized is that when they come in voluntarily, there's also the aspect of they realize that I'm feeling angry more days than not. So it's not that anyone's told them anything. It's just, you know, when you're becoming more irritable or more frustrated more easily, and you realize there's a difference from a year ago or a few years ago. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that person comes in knowing that something's not right with you know, there's been a progressively more frequent, they've just been feeling more angry.
And also, I mean, especially for men, anger is sometimes a symptom of depression. Yes. So do you talk with them to make sure that they're not depressed, or are you still, it's a value for them to come?
Yes. In their initial session, we do a clinical overview. And I think this is where it's important, where you seek for anger management with someone who has a clinical background. There's many people doing anger management with no clinical background, which is a little scary. They come in, some of the few main things I'd like to know is if they're using alcohol or drugs, if they're on pain medication, we go through all the depressive symptoms, the manic or hypomanic symptoms. You know, I want to say, you know, a small percentage, but a good enough number out there, they come in with bipolar or hypomanic, and I let them know that it's probably what's going on, and we refer them out to a psychiatrist or to get assessed with that. And if it is depression, we let them know that this is what's happening. But with depression, they can still learn, they can still benefit a great deal from this. When it comes to bipolar, it's less beneficial because a lot of times it's the medication or therapy that they're going to need for some time and then start implementing anger management. And in terms of alcohol use or drugs, again, we would refer them out to make sure they treat that, because we can teach all the skills in the world, but when someone is drunk or they're high, those skills are out the window because alcohol is going to lower your inhibitions, increase your impulsivity, and that's just out the window. Mm-hmm. So
that's why there's such a huge correlation between domestic violance and alcohol.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Do you know what the statistic is? I can't remember it off the top of my head,
but I think it's
so high. It's like 80% or something of all domestic violence. Incidents have some involvement of either drugs or alcohol.
Domestic violence, yes, but anger management more so. Domestic violence, that takes place does increase the likelihood. Anger management is, you know, when people come in and I ask them, have you ever been physical with your partner or with someone else when you were sober? And they say no.
Yeah.
It's like they're this completely healthy person without drinking or, you know, when I say like more normal, they don't act out their anger. But when they're under the influence, they've gotten into all these troubles with cops, with DUIs, with I don't know what.
Yes.
And again, that's where we say you need to work with your substance use, and anger management will be secondary after that. Once you've gotten a handle of that, then we'll go through anger management.
Yeah. I mean, I really can't see somebody doing anger management without having a clinical background. But anyway, because there's also, I'm thinking, hormonal changes.
Yeah.
I mean, the old cliche of, you know, women, I'm low on estrogen and I've got a gun, you know, the famous t-shirt or bumper sticker or whatever it was. But, you know, so you also are assessing for that, I bet.
Yes.
You know, and PMS, there's, you know, right? But some people are
there's
only.
There's a lot of that, yes.
Yeah.
And you know, we, again, it's something, it's with a lot of our clients, we want them to identify what is it that precedes their getting so upset. It's really identifying those triggers. And triggers can be a place that you're at. A trigger can be a person. Trigger can be a feeling. Like if I'm feeling hurt, it goes straight into anger. Mm-hmm. So triggers can, anything can really trigger that. And it's going to be important to identify what those are for you and learn to problem solve those.
Yeah. We're speaking with licensed marriage and family therapist Anita Avadian, and she's also a certified anger management facilitator, and that's what we're talking about, anger, how you can be less angry, and, you know, we're going to give you some tips and tools to lower your anger, yes. Acting out on your anger. Also, you see adolescents.
We do.
Because
yes. Mm-hmm.
That's another time where your hormones, your body is changing, and some of that's a biochemical, but they can still implement some skills, right?
They can. And this is so important, especially so many adults come to us and they say, I wish we had these skills in elementary. This should be a mandatory course for people so that you actually have the understanding of how do I express myself more. Earlier, we're talking about the alcohol use. It's that they hold everything in, and when they drink, they just let everything out.
Right.
So if someone has learned how to be more assertive, how to communicate, express their thoughts and feelings more assertively, not aggressively, but assertively, they learn to let some of those out, and they're feeling more heard, and they're more likely to get what they want, not necessarily, but there's a higher chance of, you know, if you ask for something, you may possibly get it if you don't ask for it. So with adolescents, they learn these new skills. Of course, there's a hormonal aspect, and then there's a lot of violence these days at schools. I mean, girls are really getting into fist fights, and it's just gotten a lot more physical. But still, they come in, they learn these skills, they try implementing it. Sometimes it's difficult when the family is not there and they're learning these skills. So we invite in the family so everyone's on the same page with how to communicate with each other, how to negotiate, how to, and so forth and so forth. So, and again, within 5-6 weeks, you see a big difference with that, and it's great.
Do you ever do groups with adults and teens mixed, or you do separate group for teens?
Separate groups for teens, yeah.
And
we have currently we have a teens group. Molly Light is facilitating that, and that we may even break that up into the younger teens versus older teens because they're different issues.
Mm-hmm.
But the adults are fairly different, so keep them separate. Yeah,
good. Well, let's you know, well, first of all, you also talk about the early signs for a person to know that they need anger management. So what would that look like?
If a person realizes that most of their days or again, it's increased frequently in terms of how often they're getting angry or frustrated, I think that's a great place to just intervene with yourself and come into a course or start a course or pick up a book about it and just learn some skills, because that already your anger is kind of getting a little out of control in terms of it being increasing frequently. So irritability, of course, is another one. You're starting to think more differently. The same thing that wouldn't upset you before now is beginning to upset you. I mean, these are just some signs of it. If you're realizing you're starting to break things, it's kind of, you know, you've gone towards the other end of the spectrum already and you're damaging furniture or walls. You know, we have a lot of people punching holes in walls and breaking doors, and it's costing them a lot of money. And then, of course, when it's too late, they've already lost the job, the relationship. So the early signs are going to be you're realizing you're getting into arguments more, or you even feel that you're more irritable more often. And we let people know that that's usually a good time.
A lot of people in my office, when they have anger issues, feel like they can't control it.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Right? So what do you say to them?
Yes. Again, it has to do with what you're doing in advance. So the four parts that we focus on, one is to learn about anger itself. Like right now, we talked about how anger is a secondary emotion. Understanding that is such a key factor.
Yes.
The second part of it is stress management. The more stressors a person has, the higher levels of stress they have. the more likely they are to get angry or explode. So we actually deal with stress management because, you know, if you're really, really stressing, you're going to talk and just get more choppy and come off pretty aggressive at times. And it wouldn't be the case if your stress was under control.
And some people don't even know that they have all these stressors in their life. So just saying, look, you've just changed jobs, you're in a new city or whatever the stressors are. Right. Yeah.
And even with stress, like we let them know physically, how can you tell you're under stress? Do your muscles get more tense? Do you fidget more? Do you lose some sleep? Do you eat more or eat less? You know, so we help people identify whether their stress is increasing, whether their anger, you know, the onset of anger, you can feel you're getting warmer. Yes. You can feel, you know, something in your voice changing, your throat.
Breath, maybe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So for each person, it differs. And it's really important to understand what happens physically to me as I start getting angry. What do I do different eating-wise, sleeping-wise, thinking-wise, feeling-wise? So we help identify with each person, what is it about me? How can I tell that I'm on the onset of getting more angry, and mm-hmm. try to intervene at that point, because it's more difficult to stop when you're ready to explode. So it's to help prevent more than dealing with waiting for it to be too late and then mm-hmm. trying to deal with it.
So it's almost anger management is preventative.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
More than trying to manage it.
Yeah.
When you're angry.
We help, it's part of the prevention, but we also do go through tools as to what to do once you're already at that peak, ready to explode.
Mm-hmm.
The other two components of the program, there's what we call emotional intelligence. So this is one trying to increase empathy. So the more empathy one has for the other, meaning if I'm able to put myself in somebody else's shoes and see where they're coming from, I'm less likely to get angry. But if I think, oh, they're doing this intentionally to hurt me, right? I'm going to be upset. But if I, you know, again, at the person at the market, maybe she's a senior citizen and, you know, she just can't move as fast. If she's going more slowly, let me be in her shoes and think, wait a minute, she's a little older, she needs more time, and that's okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the empathy. And we really teach people to increase empathy, have a better understanding of who they're talking to, and really try to understand that. So the higher that is, the better for them in terms of managing their anger. And the fourth part is effective communication. So the more a person is able to express their thoughts and feelings respectfully, ask for what they want, they're not going to be as upset. But if you keep holding it in and not saying what's bothering you, guess what? By the third time the person does that, you're ready to blow up, and the person's wondering what happened.
Yeah.
You never even told me this bothered you, and now you're
screaming.
You know, right. So those are the four components that we deal with, and we try to tackle all of those areas so that a person feels more prepared and you know, their anger is more managed.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of people feel like they should never feel angry. What do you think?
Anger is normal. It's not to not feel angry. You know, anger is a normal feeling. It's the aggression. It's the acting out on anger. Now, if I find myself feeling angry very often or a lot of the times, then it's time for me to seek help, because it's not a pleasant way of living with all that anger. But getting anger, that's a signal for you that something just happened that's bothering you. And take that as an opportunity to really dig in and see, what was this about? What just happened? You know, why is this so important to me? Why was this so upsetting for me? And mm-hmm. really dig in and understand, where's all this coming from? Then you have a better grasp mm-hmm. of what it is. And, you know, you'll figure out, what are my options in this situation? What seems like a better option, and actually pursue that action that would be more helpful to you.
Yeah, because I say, anger is like a red light. It's like, or a stop sign.
Uh-huh.
Like, you need to check in with yourself and find out what's really going on.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a signal.
It's a signal, and not to ignore it. You know,
right.
A lot of people, it's, oh, no, I'm feeling angry.
I have to express my anger because when I grew up, it was like, get in touch with your anger and express it. And it's like, it's really not helpful to go express your anger.
Yeah.
It's okay to feel it.
And it's okay to, not to act out on it, but to certainly express verbally as to, you know what, something about this situation just felt upsetting. Let me understand what this is, and then be able to tell the person.
Absolutely.
And that's so challenging for people to do, because they're going to feel vulnerable. And especially for men, this is a very difficult task, is to say, something about this, bothered me, and I'm feeling hurt right now. It's very hard for them to go there, for a lot of men, not all. But.
Yeah. But I think it is it's really extraordinary how quickly somebody's anger issue can go away.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you're saying 3 to 4 weeks, but even after, I bet the first session, there's just a profound difference. There's a shift that takes place. Okay. And so I really want to give people hope that this works, you know, and it's something that we should all have been taught.
Yes.
So, you know, don't have any shame or blame yourself for being less than. If you have anger issues, it just means that you really need to have a better relationship with yourself and honor yourself more.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. And a lot of times, you know, again, you can read through some material and learn some of that. But usually, like as you're mentioning, people come in the first session and it's, you know, finally I'm here to seek help. Mm-hmm. And they feel hopeful that this will work. And within 3 to 4 weeks, we already hear such a big difference, and which surprises me because I'm thinking this works that fast. So, you know, and the other really quick treatment that I know that works very quickly for those people out there who want to know, what can I do in that moment?
Yes.
Right.
Great.
Because I know that's a big one. People are like, okay, here's all the prevention, but what do I do when I'm really angry? What do I do at that point? You know, one of the most recommended things is to take a timeout. Mm-hmm. It's to take a timeout to just remove yourself from that situation, because obviously your blood is boiling, you're working up yourself. And when you take a timeout, there's so many things you can do with that situation, which is, you know, go take a walk. Don't drive when you're taking your timeout, because that's where road rage comes in.
Yes. So
don't drive. Don't go drinking. It's to leave the house, go for a walk, or leave the office, wherever you're at. Just go for a walk. Take a few deep breaths, because that's going to help relax part of you. There's an alternative approach to this whole anger management course, which is called thought field therapy. Roger Callahan came up with thought field therapy. And this is something I teach clients to do right when they're starting to feel pretty angry.
Okay.
And that's to tap on the inner finger of the pinky. Mm-hmm. And so you're tapping there 8 times with your fingers. And you do that like 8 to 10 times. And then right after that, you tap under your collarbone. It's just an inch away from the center and an inch below one side of the collarbone. And you tap there 8 to 10 times. And this helps bring down the anger. If a person is in a rageful mode, where rage, it's just they're about to black out of control, and then we say to tap on the side of your eye. So it's just 1 inch, doesn't matter which eye, and you're just tapping on the side of your eye 8 to 10 times, and again under your collarbone 8 to 10 times. So that's like an immediate, you know, help you bring down from the anger. And if it just worked a little, do it again. Just kind of repeat that process.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty helpful to
Well, we've got, you know, we're almost out of time, but also you recommend keeping the volume down, which I love, because if you feel like you want to explode and yell, if you can even just go to whispering, right? Doesn't that help people?
Definitely.
If they can do that?
Definitely. Yeah. There's that, because the higher, if I start yelling, I'm actually making myself more angry. The other part of that is not to cuss. A lot of people, when they're angry, they start cussing. Believe it or not, when you're cussing, it actually angers you more. So when you realize, you know, not to use you statements, or you're not blaming somebody else, you're speaking for yourself, I feel this, I feel upset, and your tone is more respectful, lower volume, no cussing, that actually helps you feel more in control and you get more accomplished that way.
Sure.
So.
Thank you. We have so much information. You're just a wonderful wealth of information.
Thank you.
Anita Avadian. Thank you.
Thank you.
You can reach Anita at 818-990-0999. That's nice, all those nines. And then the website is angermanagement818.com. Angermanagement818.com. And also you have your own website, Anita Avadian, AVEDIAN.com. Mm-hmm. And you can email you at avedian@aol.com. So get in touch with her if you have an anger problem. Join us next week when we're going to tune into you once again. And I am Phyllis Chase. I'm a West Hollywood psychotherapist, and I specialize in working with creatives, individuals, and couples. And I lead my 7-week course, Love on Purpose, which connects people to their life purpose and the power of intentional loving on weekends. To find out more about my work, courses, and CDs, you can go to phyllischase.com or call me at 310-402-8888. And if you'd like to be on the show, please email me at shrink@kcsn.org. Stay tuned for Eyes of the World with Pat Baker coming up next.
From California State University, Northridge, this is 88.5 FM, KCSN and KCSN HD, Northridge, Los Angeles, member-supported Arts and Roots Radio. Cal State Northridge, celebrating 50 years of life-changing opportunity.